Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, it's Sam Alai. Welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur. If you've been thinking about how to streamline your practice, scale your systems, or stop wasting time on tasks that could easily be automated, this episode is exactly what you need to listen to. You'll be hearing from Michael Smith, a seasoned estate planning attorney who's helped over 1,000 families protect their legacy, and Matthew Adams, CEO of MapMatix, a company that helps law firms turn clunky processes into smooth, automated systems that actually move the needle. They break down the biggest myths around automation, how AI really fits into your law firm, and why most law firms are still missing the mark when it comes to building systems that scale. If you're serious about growth, this conversation will shift how you think about tech, time, and what's possible inside your firm. Let's dive in.
All right, Matthew Adams, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. So let's just kind of dive into things. We're going to talk about automation. And so, you know, the kind of burning question is, do you think that automation is going to replace lawyers, or is that just some, you know, sort of fear-mongering thing?
I think automation is unlikely to replace lawyers. We were speaking with another law firm just a few weeks ago, and their primary objection was their concern over their staff about how are our staff going to feel with us engaging with a company that's going to automate our workflows. And it felt a little bit silly. Obviously, they have no clue what, you know, is possible and what's involved. But realistically, as of right now, you know, we're not replacing entire lawyers. We're helping lawyers and, you know, paralegal and other staff to be more efficient, to be able to work on more creative, you know, thoughtful tasks as opposed to the typical just menial tasks. So I think automation is a really great opportunity overall to really equalize small to medium-sized law firms to the bigger ones. So it's unfortunate when people just kind of dismiss it because they're concerned about what it's going to do to the industry. I think AI, on another hand, is maybe a completely different story. AI and automation go hand in hand together to a degree, but automation right now is not going to replace anyone. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that fear sort of persists out there, but you know, you do hear it from time to time. So what do you think is sort of a realistic vision for, well, let's step back for a minute. Let's define, when we use the word automation, I think, you know, you and I kind of, we know what that means to us, but maybe the listeners don't know exactly what that means, or maybe they define it slightly differently. So tell me, like, what is your definition of automation?
For me, you have to look, there's, you know, a workflow, and a workflow consists of multiple steps. A really easy one is likely, you know, the intake of an interested potential client who has filled out a form on your website. You're probably using a software that form is, you know, taking in that information. It might be Typeform, Jotform, Cognito, or you know, something else that's maybe embedded into WordPress. If you do not integrate that form with another technology, whether it's your case management tool or your CRM, you have to go into that form software, manually grab the data, and then manually input that into the other software that you then need to kind of manage that data in, whether it's case management or CRM. So automation is, well, let's have the form talk to the other software and automatically send that data over. Let's have that step be completely removed, remove potential error and instantaneous. So that, when I think automation, it's the assigning to a software, specifically cloud-related automations, it's assigning to a software responsibility and accountability to completely take over a step so that it's not necessary to do manually.
Yeah, it's sort of the kind of tedious, you know, data entry type stuff that, you know, we used to have to do a lot of, and in some firms, there's still a lot of that goes on. Okay, so what, you mentioned a couple of things that you know, saw as good kind of automation candidates. What are some other, you know, types of tasks or workflows that you see as good candidates, or you've seen law firms automate successfully?
I mean, specific to the legal space, document automation comes to mind. We can grab templates of certain documents or contracts that maybe they have different variables. They have conditions that say, hey, when it's related to this type of case or this type of matter, this different language needs to be used. Or if there's a spouse involved, we need to input this new snippet. A lot of people might think, oh, there's so many variables with how this document might, you know, be output. It's impossible to automate. That's not true. As long as it's consistent in terms of what those variables are, it could be incredibly complex. But, you know, you can click a button and say, here's a client and here's the different documents that we need generated. And here's all the information that you should be pulling from that will allow you to generate that those documents. Depending on the software you're using, and, you know, Smokeball comes to mind is a decent one. You click one button and hours of work disappears because the document's just generated with everything you were going to be doing manually, but now you can repeat 100 times over.
Well, and I think that's something that you said there was important to sort of highlight, which is a consistent, repeatable process. And that's really, you know, one of the things where there's a difference between automation and AI. You know, automation, it works really, really well for something that is consistent, that, you know, you're going to take the same action every time, you have the same data coming in, and, you know, something needs to happen from that data. Whereas if it's variable, if a decision needs to be made, if, you know, we need different outputs every time, automation doesn't really work well for that. AI does, however. Now, tell me this. Is it possible? Have y'all worked with combining automation with AI?
Definitely. The problem with AI is it's inconsistent and it hallucinates a lot. So assigning it responsibility over an entire step that we can, you know, walk away from and trust that it's going to do reliably is a little bit tricky. So AI right now is really good at empowering individuals and enabling them to be more efficient. But when it comes to sales and marketing, AI, I think, is a really great fit. An example might be, again, going back to the form that's being filled out by a client. You could have a step that says, when the form is filled out, involve this AI language model to analyze the data that they input. And then, you know, you could leave it at that and say, make a friendly, you know, output a friendly email that says, hey, you know, I see all this information, looking forward to meeting you. That's just a really good experience compared to the typical, your form has been received and we will be reviewing it and get back to you shortly. But you can go beyond that. You can say, hey, also here's some additional resources that the language model can reference of snippets of how we talk. If they mention that they're coming from LA County, mention something about LA County that I've input, that I visited in 2008 and watched this game and, you know, it was incredible. And, you know, you went to baseball. So you can leverage AI. You have to be a little bit creative, but you also have to be, you have to understand it can be inconsistent. So let's have it, you know, be involved in tasks that we don't have to be constantly watching.
I think that's a great idea to sort of customize the thank you page, if you will. I mean, I'm going to take that one. That's an excellent, an excellent idea. So, you know, tell me about Mapmatics and like kind of what you guys do.
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile me just kind of briefly sharing like how we became. I was managing the sales and marketing for a small fintech. When I joined, we were migrating from Salesforce to HubSpot and we had minimal other technology in place. And I needed to focus on the strategy. I needed to focus on the big picture for this fintech. So it didn't feel like it was worth my time to really focus on getting HubSpot set up and focusing on the fields and et cetera. And I felt also I kind of lacked the correct knowledge to be able to do so in an effective manner. So I went to some freelance websites to hire people who knew HubSpot and they did an okay job, but I was ultimately left pretty dissatisfied because our way of business was unique. I know every business says that, but we really were a little bit more unique. And so they struggled to kind of accommodate our situation. And even though generally we had a lot of success, I did walk away from that role feeling like we missed out on better growth, on better scale within HubSpot alone, but also we had minimal other technology that HubSpot isn't designed to fill. So when I left there, I wanted to explore this in particular further and see if there was an opportunity to make a business out of it because I'm a bit of an entrepreneur, I guess. And I spoke to my local health insurance agent and I was asking them about their software, just kind of getting a feel of what's going on. And it's really best to describe it as they just capitulated in front of me. They were just like,
help.
You know, we're struggling so much. Like the software they were using, they'd been using for a long time and it had no integration capabilities. So they were doing multiple steps manually for every single software because the software didn't talk to each other. And they were getting ready to employ their nieces to come and manually text every single one of their clients, letting them know open enrollment was starting.
Wow.
And they were just begging for me to kind of even slightly indicate that I could help them. So I walked away from that essentially with our first client, and I hadn't even established Mathematics yet. And so kind of the first bit of, you know, infancy, I wanted to keep it relatively arbitrary and vague. I don't want to niche into a particular area. Like my previous industry was finance, and there's a lot of need there, kind of like legal, but I just wanted to see what was going on in the broader spectrum when it came to automations and supporting with technology. And we got a lot of clients. And in the last year or so, we just kept getting more law firm clients organically without really trying. I'd made a new hire as well to it with an individual whose background was an attorney. So a few of these things combined made it make sense to kind of just take a few steps intentionally into the space. And, you know, recently last week, we just went to the ABA Tech Show, which is our first like major event to kind of introduce ourselves to the market. And despite a bit of a messy conference, I don't think we had quite the attendance that they were expecting. I spoke to a lot of other booths who were really dissatisfied. They were not too happy. We had a fantastic conference. It was very validating to have people come up to us, tell them we're not a software, we're an agency, we'll help you with the software, we'll help you to automate. Just the relief you could see in these people's faces, because they're going over to these different booths and they're all being told the same thing, and they're really just overwhelmed with options. So we feel really good about the space.
Yeah. I mean, I think small law in particular, you know, people are more aware of automation now. They see a need for it, but they don't know how to do it. And they're, you know, I've had a similar experience of hiring people through, you know, freelance websites and things. And I've never found the people who can do it the way that I can. Yeah. You know, I did some work with you guys recently, and that was a great experience, I'll say. But yeah, there's a huge need out there for sure. So tell me, what are kind of some low hanging fruit, if you will, in terms of automations for a law firm?
I mean, so many, and it is a bit custom per practice, per firm, but I mean, I think the number is around about 30% of small law firms or solo practitioners are not using a case management software. Ooh. Like forget automation for a second. Let's just get you some technology. Like if you don't have any technology at all, you're missing out big time. I think automation technology is, you know, it's an equalizer, but if you have nothing, the gap is just egregious and it's growing at a phenomenal rate. But you know, whether it comes from, you know, brand awareness, automations, initial intake, onboarding, you know, we've closed a deal and we want the contract to generate and the invoice to generate and send out automatically, or whether it's automations related to notifications on matter management, communication with clients being automatically generated, the closing letters and, you know, document retrieval. We leverage a lot of software, a lot of existing software that's out there, and we help, if you don't have any, we'll help you implement it. But a lot of firms, they'll have 5, 6, 10 different softwares, and they're getting some value out of it, but because they're not optimized and they're not talking to each other, you've just added sometimes more work.
Yeah, you wind up with a bunch of different silos, basically, that you have to, you know, anytime you want to know what's going on, you got to go check through 4 different pieces of software.
Yes. Yeah. So I think the opportunities are just ridiculous. The low hanging fruit is everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. I think there's just so many opportunities, and a lot of the time, actually, it's within the, you know, a software, not even the integration with another software. Like we've been talking with a lot of our clients who are asking us to create custom automations, and then we turn around and we tell them, actually, Clio already does that. You already pay for it. Let's just help you get that set up in Clio.
Yeah,
or
that
already happens in NetDocs. Like you don't need us to create a custom thing for you.
Yeah. Sometimes it's that sort of in-depth knowledge of the software that really is missing from a small law firm. So tell me about kind of what your process is, you know, when you go into a firm and they say, hey, we want some automation. You know, how do you help them figure out where to start and what's that process look like?
Yeah. So we are still newer to the space. So we're still learning these technologies, but we have some good partnerships with a lot of the big legal tech out there right now. But if you start working with us, you're assigned an automation solutions manager. They often have, you know, tens of years of experience in the corporate world. They understand automation intimately. And so they'll be your single point of contact. And they will assist you initially on you know, an audit and analyzing your situation. Where are the gaps? Is there an opportunity to remove certain software because you have multiple software that overlap and you don't need that? But then from there, unless you have specific requests, like you already know there are some things you want us to get started on, what we do is, as we're growing with you and learning about your business, what your goals are, your priorities, that automation solutions manager is on a regular basis touching base and making recommendations, helping ask questions you don't know to ask, so that there's an element here of we're proactive in identifying opportunities for you that you're not aware of. So that's why we've really started to characterize ourselves as your automation department.
More like a consulting kind of role than just, hey, we need you to build this custom automation in Zapier kind of thing.
And that's how we started. That is how we started. It was, you've got a developer, you've got an account manager, just go to them and tell them what you want. But unfortunately, it required the clients to have a pretty good idea as to what was going on and where they lacked and what they wanted us to do. So bringing in the solutions architect has really helped fill a gap that we were not catering to for a long time, which is that consultative element, grab you by the hand and walk you through what's going on in the industry so that you don't have to really think about it. We can make you aware of it and we can discuss it, but then, you know, let us take care of it.
Gotcha. So do you think there's such a thing as too much automation?
Yeah, 100%.
Where do you see that being a problem?
For the newer firms who they do not have established systems, processes in place, sometimes this applies to older firms as well. It's less common because if you've been around for a while, you have ways of doing things that work.
Yeah.
But people, I think, sometimes try to too soon attempt to automate a process and a workflow that they have not properly figured out. They've not tested it. They've not confirmed they want it to happen. So what happens sometimes when we'll implement an automation is it'll start working, and then 2 days later, they'll realize they want it to be completely different and change everything. And it's a little bit of a waste of time when in reality, just do that manually for a while, figure out that you like how this works, and then let's figure out how to automate it.
Yeah. When I've taught, you know, some automation courses in the past, and I always, you know, tell folks before you start automating, you want to start with a really good process. And so I teach a method of, like, you know, diagramming out your workflow and then looking within that workflow to see where can I eliminate steps? What, you know, how can we make this, before we even touch the automation or the software, how can we make this process as you know, efficient as possible? And then once you've got that down and you have a good process and you've gotten all the team members that need to, you know, all the stakeholders to participate in that, then, you know, everybody's agreed, this is our workflow. Then you can start looking at, okay, where are the spots where we can apply some automation that are going to help us, like, you know, leverage this. So, you know, if somebody was, you know, kind of just getting started with automation, like, how, you know, maybe they're not ready to hire you guys yet. Maybe they don't need a full automation department. Like, what would you tell them? Like, where, you know, how do you get started? What do I automate? What do I, you know?
Yeah, we've been playing with a more kind of starter package option for those situations where there's not a lot of work to be done, but they would appreciate access to resources that you know the industry and can support them there. So we have been kind of playing around with that a little bit. You know, smaller costs. We're not doing as much, and I think that works well with startups because we can kind of make recommendations based off what their goals are, based off what, you know, the vision for the company looks like. We can recommend certain software that's probably going to be a better fit in that area. But otherwise, you know, where to get started? I think it comes back to what I said just before, which is figure out your processes, validate, this is how we work and it's consistent. I like it. It's manual right now, but it maybe half or all of it can be automated down the line. Just focus on your processes and documenting those processes effectively and let them sit, let them just be, whether they're perfect or not, you know, stop intervening every single time something kind of goes amiss, because that gives you an opportunity to learn about that process and where it could be improved. So other than if you have no technology, probably just start somewhere, really. But
yeah. I mean, even a Google Sheet to track things with is better than nothing, you know?
Yep.
And I mean, you can build a lot of automations off of Google Sheets for sure.
Yes. We leverage it a lot. It's a bit of a sleeper.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I use Google Sheets frequently for, you know, data capture and moving data between systems. It's just, it's a nice place to like park things. So, you know, we kind of touched on AI a little bit. I mean, what do you have any thoughts on, you know, how AI, you know, we talked about a couple ideas, but in a larger sense, like, I mean, do you have any sense for like where AI is going in terms of the law firm and, you know, what we should be thinking about in that regard?
I have a few thoughts. One is, despite, I think, legal being generally behind when it comes to technology, I believe they are ahead in terms of adoption of AI, which is really interesting. And I think a lot of it makes sense because it comes, you know, related to document automation, generation, and assisting with, you know, legal research. So there's a lot of utility that just is so natural. Unfortunately, though, I think AI is really more of a buzzword more often than not. So, you know, I went at the conference, every single booth was talking about AI.
Yeah.
And I kind of got it, because if you weren't, then I think you're immediately perceived as behind, and I want something that has AI. But there's very few, I think, legal tech companies that are leveraging AI effectively, and that's got actual value. And the other thing that I'll say, the final thing is, AI has hit a bit of a plateau in terms of how much more advanced it's going to get. And I'm not an AI expert by any means, but from what I've seen and what I'm hearing from, you know, those who do know what they're talking about, really feels like we're starting to hit a bit of a, it's slowing down. We need a next quantum leap to really take it to the next level. So it'll continue to iterate and just get a little bit better here and there. That being said, I spoke with some large consulting firms who are building really advanced AI applications for, you know, the big banks, for some of the big government agencies. And what they have done with the limitations that AI currently has was impressive. But it took 6 months to build with an entire development team. So I think it's coming. I think we shouldn't kind of sleep on it. We shouldn't just pretend like, oh, it's never going to be as big of a deal as they say it will. It will be. It really will be. It might take 10 years or 20 years instead of 2 or 3. But already some of the applications I've seen built where they're using multiple agents at the exact same time doing different things honestly blew me away. It was a little bit scary, but it was impressive.
Well, I've been using AI extensively since, you know, the day that ChatGPT was released into the wild. And in the early days, I was just absolutely blown away. You know, it was amazing. You know, you type a question essentially into this chat bot and you get, you know, these incredible answers back. And then as time went on and I started to really look at the quality of the responses I was getting, like, first of all, like, it's very obvious when it's AI. I mean, it it's gotten better. I mean, no doubt the writing's gotten better, but it's very obvious that it's AI. And secondly, like, you never get the same answer twice. And that can be a good thing in some regards. So for example, if you know, let's say you want to write blog, you want to use AI to write blog posts. Well, you don't want them all to sound the same. So, you know, that's a good thing. But in the legal context, that's not what we want. We want consistency. We want, you know, answers that are based on precedent. If you know, I'm an estate planner myself, so, you know, if I'm drafting estate planning documents, I don't want every single will I draft to be completely, you know, crafted from whole cloth from, you know, that doesn't work very well.
Error prone.
I've been spending time recently thinking about like, hey, where does AI actually, you know, where are we going to get some leverage here? You know, where does it make us more effective? And I think one of the areas is speed. I mean, quite frankly, because, you know, we can draft something, or we can improve a draft of something, or we can proofread something much faster than we can do, you know, if it was purely human driven. I think the other, you know, one of the other issues with AI that I've seen so far is that it doesn't fit into the workflow. So if I want to, you know, Like, let's say I have a clause in a will and I want to, you know, improve on that. And, you know, so I want to, you know, put that through a large language model and, you know, say, hey, improve the language here. The problem with it now is I've got to, you know, copy that out of whatever document I'm in, go to the large language model, paste that in, you know, wait on it to respond, you know, then maybe modify that and then paste it back in to my document. What we need is something more akin to like the coding tools that we see out there, you know.
True.
And it, you know, a collaborator, I guess, where, you know, I'm in my Word document and I'm able to say, hey, this paragraph, I'm not quite sure about that. What, do you have any ideas? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And I think once you start to see that sort of level of incorporation into an already existing workflow that lawyers have, you're going to see huge adoption.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I'm with you. I think the AI is going to change things significantly. I don't think it's going to be as fast as we thought. I mean, you know, when it first came out, I was like, oh gosh, you know, we might be out of a job in a year. I'm not worried about that. I feel like, you know, we can be augmented by AI and that it's going to be actually a really positive thing for us as we move forward. So,
And that's what I've seen with some of these really impressive projects with these large consulting firms. They have built this just shockingly good application that's leveraging multiple different agents, but it's still designed to be a co-pilot. But what it's then designed to do is help someone that might take several hours per task, minutes, and it's just so impressive. But it's one step away then from once it gets good enough to replacing the pilot, really.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been reading about and am really interested in is these browser-based agents. Because you think about like the data entry stuff we were talking about earlier. Well, all of a sudden, if you have agents like that, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to worry about building automations. The agent can just be set up to copy that data from one software to another software, you know?
The problem with AI, though, right now, and again, I'm not an AI expert, but I'm just reiterating what I've been told by those who know. AI right now is not actually thinking. It's based off an algorithm that has been given millions of pieces of feedback, whether positive or negative. So it's outputting what it thinks you are going to like the best. Once AI is actually genuinely thinking, that's when it gets crazy.
Well, it's based on probabilities. I mean, it's a prediction engine. I mean, that's really all it is at this point. So, so, you know, tell me what's a mindset shift that you think that law firm owners, leaders need to make with respect to automation and technology?
Goodness. That's a good one. It a little bit depends on where they're at. If they have no technology, they should probably take that first leap of faith. But I'm seeing it with a lot of the technologies that are out there right now, there's this consolidation going on where with all-in-one. And I would be a little bit wary of all-in-one promises because I'm a believer of a software was designed to solve a particular problem and it got really good at it. And I'm using that software to solve that problem. But just because they've gone and acquired another company or they have now kind of built a new feature on top of it does not mean, oh, we'll just use this one tool and ignore everything else. Because oftentimes you'll find it lacks in all the other areas that it's trying to market as all in one.
Yeah, I've experienced that over the years as well. I mean, if you think about like a Swiss Army knife, and you know it's got a corkscrew on it, right? But you don't open $1,000 bottle of wine with the corkscrew on a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, I've kind of adopted this philosophy of like, let's find the best tools for each piece of our stack and then use automation to tie that together, you know, as much as we can. Because the Swiss Army knife, you know, it's good at a lot of things, but it's not great at any of them. So
no, and oftentimes this isn't true for everyone, but it's not uncommon to subscribe to an all-in-one tool and then find out that it's, you know, it's one subscription, but actually these technologies are not well integrated.
Yeah.
Together. So you think that they should talk to each other really effectively, you know, this is a non-industry related software, but Zoho, which is a very common CRM tool, though, you know, it is an all-in-one CRM with all these different technologies, but they don't integrate well together. So,
you gotta
be careful.
You know, there's one 800-pound gorilla in the small law space that has two tools that should work together pretty well, but they just don't because it was an acquisition that they bolted on and just didn't work very well. So
they're coded entirely differently. They were not designed to be integrated. Right. So it's difficult. It can be done eventually, but yeah.
Yeah. They'd be rewriting the whole code base, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew, it's been great to talk with you today about automation and learn more about what Mattix is up to. So if folks wanted to get in touch with you guys, how could they do that?
Probably best is to go onto our website. It's mattmattix.com. Alternatively, my email inbox is available. It's matt@mattmattix.com, M-A-T-T.
Shoot me an email. I'm happy to... M-A-T-I-X.com,
M-A-P,
right?
M-A-T-I-X, okay. Yeah. And feel free to ask me any questions you've got. I'm happy to you know, add some value and, you know, answer some questions. But otherwise, hop on a call with us and let's discuss where you're at. And we'll tell you if we think you're a good fit. We're looking for particular law firms. We're not really taking anyone and everyone. But if you're a good fit and, you know, you have a growth mindset, you're ready to kind of invest in the space, you know, reach out.
Sounds good. Well, good talking to you today, Matt. And I look forward to hearing from you again soon in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.